So we're seeing pictures that you posted on Facebook and very dramatic pictures of what was going on in the General Assembly, especially again later on in the day as the things developed in inside and outside Tom Tillis's office. Talk about what the experience was like yesterday from the beginning. How many people were there and what was the experience?
Well, there were 200 to 300 people gathered there to lobby. And we successfully visited every office of each representative. Mysteriously, many of them were not in their office when we arrived.
Right.
But we still got to speak to staff. We got to speak to some of them. My team of five got to speak to two out of the four. Mm-hmm. Very interesting and worthwhile. And then we gathered on the second floor, and none of us were really sure what the purpose of that was. But it soon became clear that the purpose was to have a presence in our house, our mm-hmm. legislative building, that did not violate the new bizarre rules that they have come up with, which say you can't speak in anything other than a normal voice, mm-hmm. and leaves you to wonder what is a normal voice. So there was this gathering there, and there, of course, were policemen on the side. Everybody seemed sort of relaxed, but there was an extra air of tension there because of these rules, wondering when they would be enforced, if they would be enforced. Mm-hmm. Every effort was made not to get in the way, not to break these new rules. So there were people making sure that there was easy passageway mm-hmm. around the hallways. And supposedly, you can't sing as part of the new rules. So the crowd actually hummed
like
at a very
song, though, isn't it?
The crowd hummed "We Shall Overcome" at a very low volume, and mm-hmm. it was quite dramatic.
Yeah.
And then, and my understanding is that no one other than the people who went into Tillis's office knew they were going to do this. Right.
And you were in a group of five, and 15 people went in. So was it three different groups of five, or was it 15 different?
No, once we got upstairs, we all, you know, we were just there. Mm-hmm. This was just, the lobbying went on downstairs in teams, and then when we got upstairs, there was just a crowd up there.
Okay.
And then suddenly, there was this commotion over at Tillis's door, mm-hmm. and these people wandered on in. And it was still relatively quiet, and you could just tell that something surprising had happened.
Yeah.
The police started moving around a little bit and, started talking on the radios. And it wasn't long before they showed up with a big rack of zip cuffs. But that was early in the evening. And okay.
How much of a police presence was there in the building during the day?
They were there in groups of three here and there, mm-hmm. and not like they expected a riot, but they were certainly, well manned there. And then when the people went into Tillis's office, then they emerged from the various areas of the building and were prepared to make the arrest at the call.
The police chief there is Jeff Weaver, right? That's his name.
Yep.
And he said initially that there weren't going to be arrests, at least not at first. How did that develop over the course of the...
Well, you got the feeling that they had... It had dawned on them something I thought they might have figured out earlier, that if they just didn't overreact, mm-hmm. that things would maybe dissipate, right?
Yeah.
That was their hope. It never would have happened. I mean, the resolve was there, as Reverend Barber said, they had elements of a game, but it's really about life and death, right? It's these issues of Medicaid denial and unemployment and just the long list of issues actually result in human misery and sometimes even death through the healthcare stuff. So there was that. The resolve was based upon the foundation of the understanding of those issues, right? But they let the time go by, and the odd thing was, the surreal thing was, is that the legislature was in session in the mm-hmm. room next door. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, the door would open, not very often. But you could hear Tillis's voice running the meeting over the PA system, right? And get this. So we're in there protesting all these really important issues, and they're in there deciding how they can facilitate the possum drop in Clay County, right? So there's this goofy sideshow of PETA versus the the legislature,
right.
You know, two goofball organizations, you know, in there worrying about this possum.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Tillis couldn't come talk to the citizens, at least at that point in time.
Yeah. I was surprised that he ultimately didn't meet with citizens. I mean, that seemed like it would have been an easy way to just sort of diffuse the situation, but...
You know, you could spend a lot of time trying to figure out why they do what they mm-hmm. do and why they don't do what they don't do. I mean, from a PR standpoint, he could have come out, spoken with folks, but they just have apparently. I mean, there is a real arrogance and a disdain for the people of the state who want to come and talk about these issues. I mean, you just get the sense that they know they're trying to get away with stuff quickly in the you know, behind closed doors, and they don't want to face the music.
I should mention the people that were in Tillis's office, the 14 that were arrested, 15 total, one of them left before the arrest happened, and then 14 were arrested, 8 fast food workers, McDonald's, Wendy's, Bojangles, 4 clergy members, a nationally recognized housing expert and a public school, former public school employee. What would a conversation, had he met with, and just from your experience, just meeting with legislators and staffers throughout the day, what would the conversation have sounded like? It seems like there is that animosity built up between especially Republican legislators and Moral Monday protesters. How did the conversations go with legislators and staffers?
They were fine. They were, I mean, in my experience, they were civil. I myself was plain spoken mm-hmm. with the representatives, and they did not mind that. I mean, that's why I felt like I was there, to tell them how I really felt on these issues.
Were you meeting with Republicans, Democrats, both?
We actually met with Democrats mm-hmm. who are on our list of, but, you know, there's a lot of Democrats over there that, you know, have supported fracking, supported taking away the power of local governments to regulate whether or not they have landfills near them or their water quality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of bad voting going on both sides of the aisle over there. But here's one thing that stuck out to me about what would one of those protesters have said to Tillis? Well, one of them, I'm pretty sure that she was in there. There's a YouTube of her lobbying earlier in the day, and she's a fast food worker who has cervical cancer
mm-hmm.
and is making, you know, minimum wage, doing the best she can, raising her daughter. And she is
Caroline Price, I think was her name.
Is that
right?
The name?
Yeah, I think so.
So she's faced with this unbelievable heart-rending dilemma
yeah.
where she is going to take care of her daughter and let herself get more sick, right? I mean, that's the profound reality of these policies.
Yeah. And we talk about and one of the things that came out today was county by county unemployment numbers. And there's another, looking at Orange County, there's a big drop between March and April, 4.7 down to 4 for the unemployment rate. A lot of those jobs are low paying jobs where you can't afford to make ends meet, especially when
right.
you have health issues.
So a lot of the people that were in there from the fast food, like you said, there were 8.
Mm-hmm.
They were wearing T-shirts that represented their organization, raise up to 15.
Mm-hmm.
The $15 an hour mark is what, you know, they're asking for.
Right.
And I think that's fair. I mean, what we've learned as this issue has come to the fore over the last couple of years is that it's no longer a summer job,
mm-hmm.
you know, for between high school years flipping burgers for a summer. These are 30-year-old people out there trying to raise a family and lead productive lives and provide for their family.
Yeah, there's the Onion article, but it's not far off from reality about the high school student and the teacher both competing for the same
right.
summer job.
Yep.
And
yep.
I mean, we talked with people at the Chapel Hill Carver schools last week, and yeah, a lot of teachers work multiple jobs, and those
jobs are in
retail.
The one guy said
like
he
that.
Had 3 jobs.
3 jobs.
That's
yeah,
that's unconscionable.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've been involved with Moral Monday last year. You were arrested last year, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how does the police presence and the interactions with police compare this year to last?
Well, it's a totally different scene.
Mm-hmm.
There was no plan for civil disobedience. As far as they knew, we were just going to come
sort of,
up in
a sort of conspicuous obedience, I think it seems to be this year, right?
That's a good
yeah.
way to put it.
Yeah.
It's a good way to put it. Although it was pushing the envelope.
Mm-hmm.
As Barber said, and I think he said rightly last week when we marched through with tape on her mouse to symbolize the stifling of dissent that they had, you know, promulgated. So we're going to be quiet one time.
Okay.
And that's it. You know, and then we're coming back, and he had quotes from everybody from Thoreau to Martin Luther King to mm-hmm. Gandhi to every, you know, all these people down through history talking about, you know, silence is acquiescence, et cetera, mm-hmm. you know, and that you have to speak out when you witness injustice. And so this was the first amping up of that, yeah. right? And, you know, there was a real different flavor of tension in there because nobody really knew what was going to happen. And apparently these 15 people just went on in to Tillis's office, and Barber, from what I heard, didn't know about it, right?
Interesting.
And he was reacting. Everyone was reacting.
Hmm. So we've got to wrap up here in a minute. And Mark, thanks for joining us. We're speaking with Mark Markopoulos, by the way. What's next? How is this going to develop over the course of the summer? I know nobody knows, but
well, nobody's talking about it.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Mark Markopoulos. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Thanks.